WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
As Chicago looks down the barrel of a massive budget gap, Mayor Johnson says finding financial fixes won't be easy.
We need to identify cost savings, but we also have to identify opportunities where we can streamline operations and improve services that are delivered to our residents. We essentially need to do more with less.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. The city's budget shortfall is $1.12 billion in 2026. Meanwhile, President Trump has threatened to cut $3 billion in federal funds that Chicago relies on. To brainstorm solutions, the mayor's forming a working group of business and labor leaders, residents, and finance experts. So what should that group keep in mind as the work begins? Justin Marlowe, research professor for the University of Chicago Harris School of Public Policy, came to the studio to share his take. He began by filling us in on how dire Chicago's financial situation is. Here's Justin.
We've seen this movie before. $1 billion projected deficits has been the norm, certainly for the last 3, 4, 5 years. But I think, yeah, this one is different just because the context is very different. The federal pressure, the open threats that the Trump administration has made, now paired with the potential for tariffs and inflation and loss of tourism and all sorts of other things that impact local budgets, it really does takes this sort of the same problem we've had for a long time. It makes it a lot worse in the context that we're in now and given what we can expect to happen over the next several weeks and months.
Yeah. Expand on that. Tell me more about what you see as causes here and just elaborate. How longstanding are these issues?
In so many ways, what we're seeing now is a reflection of what we've seen in Chicago's budget for a long time. We do have this standing, what we'd call structural deficit. Revenues simply don't equal spending. A lot of that is driven by long-term entitlements, concerns around things like pensions, interest on our debt, those sorts of things. That's been in place for a long time.
This is all clearly inherited by the mayor.
All clearly inherited and clearly inherited by maybe the last 3 or 4 mayors.
Right.
These are longstanding problems. At the same time, the concerns about the revenue side are in some ways the same, but also a little bit different. I think we have, again, the federal piece is really, really important and kind of new. Big concerns about whether things like sales taxes will be able to keep up as things become more expensive and people spend less. The tourism economy is very important to Chicago. You think about lodging taxes and all the sales tax that tourists bring. So that makes it a different challenge this time around, even though the underlying challenge of just revenues don't equal spending has been in place for a long time.
What do you think of the makeup of this working group? As I said, they're putting together business, community, labor leaders, finance experts. Does that sound like a good plan?
I think it does. I think when we looked at what happened with the budget process last year, where I think most would argue that it really kind of came off the rails, especially toward the end, that exposed some real problems with Chicago's governance, right? It exposed some real problems with the way that the budget is made and the way decisions about the budget are made. And the mayor was criticized, I think, pretty harshly by people across the political spectrum that there was not enough input from a variety of stakeholders who would be affected by that budget, starting with the city council, but also including a whole range of business, labor, other sorts of leaders in the community. So to his credit, I think he deserves some credit for getting out ahead of this, saying, let's get a group of people together sooner than later, and let's make sure that we have an opportunity to get input and new ideas. And if nothing else, just make sure everybody understands the scope and scale of the problem early and often. I think that's a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they'll be able to come up with tractable solutions in the limited time that they have to discuss this, and whether they'll be able to put the solutions in place in the coming budget, I think remains an open question. But it's definitely, I think, a step in the right direction and a response to some criticism that the mayor has weathered in the past.
So we're going to talk about spending cuts then, as well as the potential to generate more revenue. Let's focus on cuts first, potential spending cuts here. When you hear the mayor say that he wants to, quote, streamline operations, I think the word of the week last week was efficiencies. What could be on the table here?
Yeah, they certainly came up with efficiencies in the last round of the budget, a couple hundred million worth of redundant positions, positions that had been opened and never filled, you know, those sorts of things, particularly on the personnel side. There's Sky was such a huge organization. There's so many positions open at any time. Just being more careful about who you're hiring and when you're hiring and how you're hiring can go a long way in and of itself. But I think that won't necessarily be the story for the coming budget process. There's no question that in this coming budget process, they're going to need to look beyond efficiencies and streamlining. I think it'll start with that. But given the size of the budget deficit and given, again, the concerns on the revenue side, which could make that budget deficit even worse, they're probably going to need to look more at what in the past the mayor has called structural adjustments.
So could it look like furloughs and layoffs and service cuts?
All the above, and he certainly has not taken hiring freezes and furloughs off the table yet, which is something that in past budget processes he had made clear that he was not going to do. So I think that is definitely on the table. I think more generally it's just a question of what does city government do? How does city government do it? And in some ways the federal cuts are, in a strange way, an opportunity to raise that question. What is it that Chicago leaders consider really essential core public services? And that's where something like this task force could be really helpful in setting a course for that and getting support, particularly within the business community, around defining what it is that we consider to be the main things that Chicago city government ought to do. If you can get to an answer to that question, it's not easy, but it makes it a lot easier to move forward on getting the budget in line with the long-term future of the city.
You think there are spending cuts that would have a direct effect on residents?
Undoubtedly. I mean, it seems difficult that you could do any sort of a structural adjustment without touching public safety, without touching streets and sanitation, without touching certain parts of public health, things that people experience every day, even if they don't realize they experience it.
I was going to say, are there ones that maybe we wouldn't notice as much?
Absolutely. I think we notice everything city government does. We notice some things city government does when it's not there. And I think that's the challenge. And again, that's where getting outside input can be really helpful in understanding exactly how would some of these potential cuts affect business? How would some of these potential cuts affect the way that people experience city services? And ultimately, things like economic development and public safety and just the experience people have being in Chicago. So again, really healthy to get that outside input because the choices that the city faces are all really, really challenging choices.
Let's talk about revenue now. What options could the group consider for boosting revenue?
The fundamental problem with Chicago's revenue portfolio is kind of a blessing and a curse. On the one hand, it's a very what we would call diversified revenue portfolio. We depend on a lot of different small revenue sources, many of which don't really move up and down at the same time. So you always have a lot more stability in the way that we think about revenue. In addition to the property tax, of course, which is the thing that gets the most attention. Mm-hmm. So it's very stable, and it provides for a really robust overall way of thinking about how our revenues respond to what's happening in the economy. The challenge with that is that when you need to generate more revenue, you end up having to make a lot of enemies because every one of those little taxes touches different businesses and different people in different ways. And what you're left with is, a really no good way to generate a lot of revenue without paying a real big political price.
And I mean, we saw what happened when aldermen wouldn't go for Mayor Johnson's property tax hike proposal, right?
Definitely.
And that's probably the biggest lever that Chicago can pull.
In many ways, it's the only lever that the mayor can pull in a way that's going to produce the sorts of revenue that I think they're talking about needing at the scale that we're going to need it. In many ways, I think where it will land is they'll probably end up proposing and ultimately getting a property tax hike that will put the property tax rate where it would have been had the mayor gone forward with the property tax hikes that were put in place under the Lightfoot administration. Uh-huh. And that's not a criticism so much as it's just a recognition that, again, Chicago's budget has had this problem baked in for a long time. We've needed to increase property taxes just to be able to make sure that revenues keep up with spending. And so now we're going to have to do kind of a one-time, potentially painful correction to get it back on that trajectory.
I thought you were coming with good news today, Justin.
Well, again, I think the good news is that this task force is a step in the right direction. And I think they may end up coming up with something a little different than what has been proposed in the past. And I think just generally getting the business community on board makes sense. The thing, there's a bit of a misnomer out there. People tend to think that business, does not want to pay taxes, is going to avoid taxes at all costs. And certainly business doesn't like paying taxes any more than the rest of us do. But the thing that business wants more than anything else is predictability. They want to know that when a policy is put in place, that they can plan around it, that they can make capital investment decisions and hiring decisions, mm-hmm. and that they're going to have a clear and transparent and predictable rules of the game. And I think that's been the missing ingredient. Having this task force and getting business community input maybe puts us on a path toward that sort of predictability, which I think is really good news from a fiscal management standpoint.
Yeah. Anything we can learn from how other cities are dealing with financial crises?
Yeah, in so many ways, this is particularly the federal challenges are affecting everyone. I think it's a little too soon to know exactly how this is going to play out from place to place. And of course, everything we're hearing about what the federal government might do could change tomorrow. That makes it that much harder to know exactly what to expect. But I think every place that has successfully dealt with the sorts of fiscal pressures that Chicago is dealing with has ultimately had to grow out of them. It's really the only thing you can do. You can mm-hmm. continue to bolster your economy, continue to lean into the sources that you have, try to provide for a stable, reliable, safe place to do business. All those things make a big difference. It sounds very simple. In so many ways, Chicago has that exact potential. It has a big, broad, robust, diversified economy. It has a lot going for it. And so really, the success stories that are out there are in places that have just gotten back to basics and done basic city services well and done them efficiently and done them with a real eye toward the sorts of sophisticated financial management that many would claim has could have been lacking in Chicago, but that maybe we're getting back on a course toward going in that direction, which I think is very positive.
Well, today the mayor's in Springfield. He's making his case to lawmakers that the state needs to do more. They need to provide more funding for the city of Chicago. To what extent, Justin, do you think that state lawmakers can throw Chicago a lifeline here? Also considering that Johnson doesn't have the best track record down there, so how likely are they going to be to want to receive his argument?
Yeah, I think they'll be more receptive to it than they've been in the past. There's definitely some things that the state can do, particularly from a regulatory standpoint, that I think would make things a lot easier, again, to do business and would provide a little bit more flexibility in how Chicago manages its budget. Those things would make a big difference. And I think particularly on the capital investment side, more state money for some really key road, bridge, sewer maintenance projects, those sorts of things would go a long way. I think in many ways, the interesting thing that we haven't talked about that I think is the kind of the key development at the federal level is Senator Durbin's announced retirement,
yes,
which I think makes Springfield a little bit more receptive to the city's argument, because now I think there is an understanding that Chicago and Illinois together are going to have to go it with a different kind of partnership, knowing that they don't have quite the same clout in D.C. that they've had for the last several decades. That's not to say that whoever replaces Senator Durbin won't do a great job. It just takes time to develop that clout.
And so
not having that means that I think they're going to need to work in partnership, the city and the state, in a way that has maybe not been quite as effective as some would hope over the last few years.
We'll leave it there for now. That's Justin Marlowe, who's a research professor for the University of Chicago Harris School of Public Policy. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Meha Ahmed. It was edited by Dan Tucker and mixed by Ari Mejia. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen, or you can read and hear more at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again soon.
Love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.